Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So we've obviously been talking a lot about Tiger Woods. We've talked a little bit about the NFL. Encourage you, by the way, to go download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss anything. And one of the things that I spent a lot of time contemplating on Tuesday as I scrolled through my Twitter feed and saw so many people that I follow and so many people that I know reacting to the Tiger Woods story, and I was thinking about why Tiger Woods matters to such an extent for so many different people. And obviously, we want Tiger to be well. I would love for him to have another opportunity like he did at Eastlake Country Club down in Atlanta, and also like he did at Augusta when he won a green jacket kind of out of nowhere, which I think will be a lot like when Jack Nicklaus, I think, won in 1986, if I'm not mistaken. Dub, you can look that up, at the age of 46, when it was kind of came out of nowhere. And it was just a sign of what he had been capable of in the past. And it evoked such a sense of nostalgia for so many golf fans out there. And to me, golf is unique. Because you can have a really long golf career that allows us as sports fans to experience your life in a way that doesn't occur in really any other sport. And let me explain exactly what I mean. If you use Tiger Woods as an example, I basically am the same age as Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is 45. I'm 41 years old. We were raised in the same sort of era. There's not a tremendous difference between us years-wise. It's funny, when you're a kid, if you're a senior in high school and somebody else is a freshman, you're like, oh, there's 3 years difference. We're so much different. And then as you age, you find out that really you're the same generation and many of your experiences were not that much different than somebody else's experience. So I'm 41. Tiger is 45. But I feel like in many ways, I have grown up with Tiger Woods. I've seen him on the course at Augusta winning at the age of 19 years old, this skinny kid that had not yet grown in any way into his adult body. I remember watching Tiger at the U.S. Junior Amateurs, I think it's called, and I'm not a golf savant, so if I mess up some of my language, I apologize to you golf nicks out there. But watching Tiger Woods win at that level, hearing all the discussion between Palmer and Nicklaus about how many green jackets he was going to end up winning, all of the talent, the fact that he was heralded as such an unbelievable star at such a young age, and that he lived up to it in many ways, and that Tiger didn't shy away from the fact that his goal was to win more majors than Jack Nicklaus. He had an objective out there, and it seemed like Tiger was going to beat Jack Nicklaus. And when going away, and then it didn't happen, and we'll circle back to that in a moment. But what you saw from Tiger and what you sometimes see in golf and typically don't see in very many other sports is you see someone go from childhood to adulthood to middle age, and you grow alongside of them. And so Tiger Woods, when he won that first Masters, who does he hug when he comes off the 18th green? His dad. Tiger Woods, for all of us who are sports fans, who are old enough to remember that, initially came into our lives as the son of Earl Woods. He was a kid. He was defined by his relationship, and his mom was there as well, by the way, but he was defined as their son as the son of Tiger and of his dad and his mom. And then what happens? He gets married to Elin Nordgren. And as he's coming off the course, he hugs her, and you can see that he has moved into adulthood in some way. Now, that relationship, which we'll get to in a moment, blows up, doesn't work. But before that happens, he has two kids, and we get used to seeing then Tiger through the eyes over the course of his career. We've seen him from son to husband to father himself. And that's the natural evolution that I personally have gone through, and that many of you out there, I imagine, have also gone through. And just like me, you are not the exact same person that you were when you were a precocious 18 or 19-year-old kid. And you're probably not the same person that you were when you got married for the first time. And you certainly aren't the same person that you were before you suddenly took on the mantles and responsibilities of fatherhood. And so golf, uniquely to me, we get to see these guys, because of the length of careers of the top golfers, go from boy to man to father. And I say that because I do think there's a difference between being a boy and a man and a dad, right? Like, those are natural evolutions. Because even when you're a man, before you have kids or before you have family responsibilities, you are still primarily responsible for yourself. And I've heard a lot of people talking. I was talking to my wife about this the other day. We had some friends over and we were talking about Britney Spears. And it's interesting, Britney Spears and Tiger Woods, although they're totally different, right? One is a golfer, another one is an entertainer. But they're that same era. And I was talking about Tiger Woods, 45, Britney Spears, 38 years old, or whatever the heck she is. I'm right in between both of them at 41 years old. When you think about the way we treated Tiger Woods, there's no other athlete that I am aware of in my life that has had his private life dissected in the way that Tiger Woods has. In fact, I can't even think of anyone else who is a close second in the world of sports. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, O.J. Simpson. Well, I'll give you O.J., but O.J. was dissected because he was accused of double murder. Whatever you might think of Tiger Woods, he just might be guilty of being a bad husband. And so, I'm not sure that we've ever seen an athlete that was cut open right to the bone in terms of the media going all in on the way they covered him like we've seen for Tiger Woods in the world of sports. There are lots of really famous athletes. Peyton Manning, Michael Jordan. I'll use a couple. LeBron James. I don't ever remember the media diving into their personal lives on any of the way, to any of the degree, like they did for Tiger Woods. And some of those guys have gotten divorced. Some of them haven't. Some of them have had off the field or off the court related issues. But really what's remarkable about Tiger is there's really nobody else in the world of sports that's ever been treated like him in terms of losing all of his privacy. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Tiger Woods would build himself a massive yacht and name it Privacy. Because this is a guy who has been on the stage being analyzed as something more than a golfer since he was 17, 16, 18, 19 years old. And it reminds me a little bit of the path that Britney Spears has been on. And I don't know if how many of you have watched it, but there's the Tiger Woods documentary out there, and there's also the Britney Spears documentary out there. And what both of them convey is the all-encompassing nature of media and the way they covered Tiger Woods, and also Britney Spears. I mean, these were guys and girls who were on the cover of the weekly magazines in a pre-internet-driven celebrity culture, in a pre-social media era, where before the athlete or the celebrity could talk to their fans directly through social media and kind of curtail this wild chase for the latest scoop, Tiger Woods was covered like Britney Spears. And if you go back and watch the trajectory of their lives, it's interesting to think about, because they are the embodiment of a generation that our media almost destroyed. Now, I'm not saying they were perfect in their choices. I'm not saying they didn't make mistakes. But to err is human. All of us are imperfect. And I think one reason why this Tiger Woods incident, this car accident, struck so many people so interestingly is because Tiger has been a fixture in so many people's lives for so long that we feel like we are a part of his story, because his story is so inextricably intertwined with our own stories. As we have aged, as we have grown, there has been Tiger Woods in the red shirt striding across a green. And we love to build up our heroes to make them larger than life. But what often ends up making us love our heroes the most is the moments when they are the most human. And I think for so many people out there, I know I was one of them, watching Tiger Woods on the golf course with his son, it felt like a circle of life moment where Tiger has moved from being the son, the protege of his father, Earl Woods, and he now has become, in full circle, the dad. And his story, in many ways, feels like it's building towards a conclusion where we don't see Tiger Woods as a golfer at all. We see him as a dad. Everybody likes to think about the way that stories end. That moment, especially in athletics, where a transcendent athlete is able to experience the utmost glory on the court. And it happens at a young age to end. Most stories don't end perfectly. We just saw that maybe with Drew Brees. We may end up seeing it with Tom Brady before all is said and done, but most people aren't Michael Jordan draining a jumper to win the NBA Finals with the Chicago Bulls, even though he later played with the Wizards. We forget about that. Most people aren't Peyton Manning or John Elway riding off into the sunset with a Lombardi trophy on their shoulder. Most people aren't Tiger Woods deciding to retire right as he walks up and sinks a putt on the 18th green at Augusta to win a Masters in a legendary fashion that no one ever thought was possible. Most people aren't able to write their ending. But that doesn't mean we don't want for the perfect ending to be possible. How do most stories end when you're a kid and they lived happily ever after? Well, that doesn't sum up most people's lives. Because even if you do live happily ever after, there often are many different dark moments in everybody's life. But I think what struck people earlier, I talked about Kobe. That's not how Kobe's story was supposed to end. And that strikes a lot of people, gets them in the gut. And I think if you're a parent, what got you in the gut about Tiger Woods was the story of Tiger Woods' life, I feel like, isn't going to end with him having a golf club in his hand. It's going to end in some form or fashion with him being a dad, standing off of the green, watching his son compete somewhere. And maybe that is the best possible ending for Tiger Woods of all when you consider the way that he entered this life of ours in the world of sports, which is as Earl Woods' son. And what struck so many of us right in the solar plexus, why so many of us reacted so emotionally when we heard about that Tiger Woods story, was because in many ways, the story of Tiger Woods' life is the story in some small part of our own life as sports fans as well. I hope that made sense to some of you. I tried to sometimes put into context what exactly I am thinking of in terms of the experience of Tiger Woods and why so many people cared so desperately about his health in that particular moment in time. We're going to be joined by Petros Papadakis next. Petros lives near where Tiger Woods drove off the road. He's also had Tiger on his radio show, and I think Petros will have some interesting things to say about the Tiger Woods experience from the perspective of being a father as well. He is scheduled to join us next.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Petros Papadakis. I actually thought, as soon as I saw the news and I was like, okay, well, where did this LA accident happen? And as I saw everybody moving, kind of zooming in with their maps and everything else on television, I thought to myself, there's only one man I know who lives in Palos Verdes. That's Petros Papadakis. Did your phone blow up with people wanting to know if you were okay, if you had seen Tiger drive off the road?
Yeah, it was wild because I was up really early in the morning working, and after I drove my kids to school, I went back to sleep, as I am apt to do as a European and a sedentary man. And I woke up around noon, and I had like 400 texts from everybody and their mom, from every fireman I know in the area, every police officer I know in the area, every dad I know, all my high school friends. I mean, and then I looked up in the sky and there were helicopters over my house and the whole area, like 20 helicopters, which I have never seen. And so I got my stuff on and drove over to where the crash was, because it's a mile, really like a mile and a half from my house and a mile from my high school. If you saw the aerial shots, that football field is my high school football field, Peninsula High School. Colin Cowherd said Palos Verdes is almost a peninsula yesterday on the air, and I just want to correct that and say it is a peninsula. In fact, it's called the Palos Verdes Peninsula, and the high school that I went to that is about a mile from where Tiger crashed is called Peninsula High School. So, I mean, calling the big deal, so we might have to change it to almost Peninsula. But it's a very interesting thing, Clay, for us locals, because that is a very treacherous area to drive, as people have started to talk about. They started to kind of later in the evening yesterday. And people that know the area just know that that's the very, if you've ever been to Los Angeles, south of the city, there's a hill. And that hill is called the Palos Verdes Peninsula. There's actually no town on it called Palos Verdes. There's Palos Verdes Estates. There's Rolling Hills Estates. There is the private city, Rolling Hills, where Steve Sarkisian and Pete Carroll used to live. And there is Rancho Palos Verdes, which is the town I grew up in. I live now in Palos Verdes Estates. Tiger crashed on the border between Rancho Palos Verdes and Rolling Hills Estates, which is why you hear it characterized as one or the other over and over, because he crashed right on the border. And it's a hill. At the very top of the hill is where the high school is, and Tiger was going down the hill, and there's an emergency gravel lane over to the right because cars lose control all the time.
What causes that? I'm not an expert on driving by any stretch of the imagination, but what causes cars to lose control? Just the steepness of the hill? Is it the turns? Like what causes issues there?
I think what happens is you gather speed at a high rate, and then there's a turn and a stoplight. And if you're not from the area, it catches people off guard, especially if you look down at your phone or something like that. And he was late. What would happen all the time with us in our high school especially at my high school, was 70% Asian, and a lot of kids had those crazy Hondas with the Momo wood and the exhaust and all that. And, you know, we wouldn't have that problem in the morning because everybody's going up the hills toward high school, toward the high school on top of the hill early in the morning. But at lunchtime and after school, you would have crashes all the time from people driving back down the hill, and fatal crashes right there in that area. There's a reason there's an emergency fire lane over to the right. I've gotten texts all the last couple days from people saying my family friend died there in 1984 on that road. So I don't know what was in Tiger's system. Obviously, he has a history of that kind of stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised if he just crashed because he did not know the area. He was late, and he was going too fast in a very unfortunate spot.
So for people out there, like I've been around this area, I think, the Terranea Resort, would that be in close proximity to all of this as well?
Okay, well, that's where he was staying. Okay?
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Okay, so that's on the backside of the hill, basically.
Yeah.
The only thing you stare at when you look out from the Terranea is the ocean and the Catalina Island, the northern part. So Terranea is where they used to, for your older listeners, they used to shoot the Lloyd Bridges show Sea Hunt there.
Yeah, yep.
And then it was a marine land, like a SeaWorld type of place when I was a kid. And now it's a luxury hotel. Tiger was staying there. He took a terrible route. He was headed to Rolling Hills Country Club. And he took a route going over the top of the hill, which he didn't have to. Basically, all he had to do was go around the south side of the hill through San Pedro. But they probably would freak out if they saw Tiger Woods driving down Western Avenue in San Pedro. So he went over the top of the hill. Whatever reason he was on there, I think I understand he was late for a TV shoot, and he was staying at the Terranea and got out of there late. So it's about a 15-minute drive from where he crashed to Terranea. But Terranea is not close to anything, as you know, because
yeah.
it's in the middle of the biggest land movement area in the world. So there's not a lot of houses around there, and there would be because it's some of the most beautiful property in the world.
Oh, I mean, the resort. If people are looking for things on their bucket list, Terranea Resort is one of the most extraordinary resorts in the country. I mean, I don't think that's hyperbole.
Oh, terrible.
I mean,
no, not true. Totally untrue. Like, people were saying, like, do you think Tiger was drunk? And I was like, it's impossible to get drunk at Terranea because the service is so bad you can't get enough liquor in. And this is the complaint about Marineland. It's really a complaint about this area, which is a very isolated, very strange, very beautiful but odd
area. You wouldn't
area.
Think that you were as close to one of the biggest cities in the world if you were in this area, right? That's a good way to describe it, which is one reason it's sort of popular is because people want an escape from the big city life.
A couple people pointed out a few things that might make that point for you. One, it is peacock mating season, and he might have swerved away from one of those, although not likely on Hawthorne. It's coyote mating season, and that's also likely that he might have swerved away from one of those. And some people asked an appropriate question. It's also maybe likely that his car could have rolled right into somebody on a horse in that area. So, yes, it is it's a very kind of strange, tucked-away area. And, you know, there's no cell service. Everything's kind of backwards up here in a weird way. And the fact that it's now got every news van internationally in the world parked on it and every helicopter above my house is a little surreal.
We're talking to Petros Papadakis, AM 570 LA Sports. You can hear him. For many people out there, given the fact that it was just a little bit over a year ago that Kobe Bryant's helicopter crashed, even though Tiger Woods is going to be okay, this was a moment to evoke those feelings that happened over a year ago. Is that the primary reaction that you heard among Southern California sports fans? Did you hear a lot of those connections being made?
We talked about it because it feels, you know, it felt that way. I mean, obviously that was north of here in the Ventura County area, Calabasas area, which is a hilly, beautiful area. And those are the hills kind of above Malibu, which is the exact opposite side
Yes.
of the Santa Monica Bay from here. So, I mean, it all seems like a small area if you're really far away, but it kind of takes a while to get there. But I remember very sad the day after Kobe's accident, we had to go and do Justin Turner's golf tournament, which was set in stone, and there was no going back, and it was all promotional. And we had to go and interview Clayton Kershaw and Justin Turner and Albert Pujols and all these guys at Sherwood Country Club, which is very close to the crash site.
Yeah.
So, and I drove right by the next day just because it was on the way. Like, I didn't go out of my way, but it was the same scene. You know, 20 helicopters in the air, every news van in the world parked in an affluent community that is kind of a hilly area. Although where Kobe crashed is a little bit more remote. But yeah, it felt very similar, but, you know, there you're talking about multiple people tragically dying, and Tiger's going to have a long road back to being comfortable again, I think, but he's certainly going to live.
We're talking to Petros Papadakis, AM 570 LA Sports. You had Tiger Woods on your radio show a few years ago at his...
Yes, the Come to Jesus with Petros and Money.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because Tiger is a Southern California kid, I think, by and large, for most of his life. And what's interesting about that conversation that you had with him was there was a certain pivot towards being a dad as opposed to being one of the best golfers in the world. And I feel like we saw that in December with him being out on the course with his son. And I think you've got two young kids. I've got three relatively young kids. For many of us, I think that transition from being, you know, sort of the focal point to now being responsible for other people is a major life path. It feels like in many ways that was a tremendous moment for Tiger as well. And so I think a lot of people thought about him as a dad almost as much or more than they did of him as a golfer, because the last time we saw him on a golf course was with his son.
Yeah, growing up where I grew up and playing at USC, you know, I got around a lot of people who grew up to be billionaires or Hall of Famers, and it's odd. You know, I knew Tiger Woods in college a little bit because our kicker, his cousin, Byron Bell, was the guy, the bag man for Tiger Woods, the guy that went down with all of his women and all that stuff. And he was the caddy briefly after Fluff quit, if you remember.
Oh,
Byron,
yeah.
Bell. Well, our kicker was David Bell, and he was Tiger Woods' best friend. Byron was his cousin. So we were around him, and he wasn't likable. You know, he was a big nerd and kind of a creep when I knew him when I was a kid. So all those years later, after all of his struggles and all the stupid sports talk takes in the world about him when I'm forced to answer questions about golf, we interviewed him for like a half hour, and it was talk about surreal, because he burned a hole through me. I mean, he looked dead into my eyes and Matt's eyes and answered the questions honestly and really was candid. And people still talk about that interview because it was before he won the Masters, and we joke around and say, you know, we saved him, you know.
Yeah.
He changed after he talked to us, but he was very candid about his life. And then the weirdest part about the interview was that he didn't leave. You know, there's like 12 handlers there, half with him, half with the Genesis, and he didn't leave. He wanted to talk to me about USC and maybe some illicit things at USC over the years when I was younger. And we had an in-depth conversation, and he talked to my radio partner about golf courses in the Orange County area where he lives and where Tiger grew up, North Orange County. And it was weird, man. He wouldn't leave. You know, it's like he wanted to connect with us for some weird reason. And that's the last time I saw him. But we always talk about that interview. And I changed, like, that moment, obviously, I changed the way I felt about him. Just because he was so giving and so gracious and so forthcoming with everything. So, yeah, that happened. And it was an odd moment. And I thought about him and his kids and his wife, ex-wife, and his girlfriend and all that. You know, before I thought about, well, is he going to be able to beat Jack Nicklaus's record? Or, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
I felt horrible just because we had, you know, obviously you don't want to see anybody hurt like that or anyway, but we had that really meaningful, it felt like interaction that changed the way we approached him for sure.
Did we as a, I don't mean you and me specifically, but we as media in general, one of the things that I think is interesting about Tiger Woods is I was kind of watching some of the documentary that's up on HBO, and there's a documentary up about Britney Spears too, and they're really kind of the same era, even though I think they're separated by 7 or 8 years of age. And what you saw in those documentaries was sort of a voracious hunger to cover every single aspect of their lives such that there was indeed no privacy at all associated with them. Can you remember anybody ever being covered, not to his athletic exploits, but to the degree his private life was covered ever in the history of sports? Because I can't. And it's just interesting to think about Tiger Woods, not only as being a transcendent golfer, but as also being this luminescent celebrity star that was treated, I think, quite a bit differently than anybody else in the world of sports.
Well, I mean, to get that deep, I mean, I think we always end up prisoners of the moment with this is the most covered person in the world. And let's be honest, I mean, he's one of the most recognizable people on Earth.
Yep.
Which is why there's helicopters flying all over the place like somebody died. Nobody died. So I think there's part of that. But then, you know, you think about Charles Lindbergh and the Lindbergh baby 100 years ago, and
yeah.
Think about what that story was. You know, you think about the British press, you know, all the way back.
I talked about it with Harry and Meghan, and the reason they've moved to California is to try to escape the British press. There's no doubt.
Well, yeah, well, I knew her in college.
Meghan, oh, you did?
Well, she married a guy that my wife and her friends were friends with. So she was at parties and stuff when I.
Oh, this never come up before? We got to bring this up next week.
Well, she had the same reputation with that guy that she did with the prince, believe it or not. Just on a smaller microcosm. A real climber, so to speak.
Petros Papadakis, we appreciate the time. Good luck avoiding all of the helicopters surrounding your house. We will talk to you next week. I appreciate it, my man.
I mean, you're not going to get that kind of inside Palos Verdes Peninsula information anywhere else, Clay.
No, that's why I said we got to make sure we got Petros on today, and we didn't even do the Bachelor report, which we'll catch up on next week, too. There's too much data here.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Appreciate Petros Papadakis joining us, hanging out, breaking down the Tiger Woods story. I, you know, as we finish off the show, I'm about to hop a flight to Mexico and roll down there. And, you know, I just think, again, the lesson of the Tiger Woods story that is going to linger here is don't take for granted your time as a dad or a mom, or for that matter, as a grandma or grandpa, or as a significant life figure in anyone's out there, right? Because a little over a year ago, Kobe Bryant at a young age was taken from us far too soon. And there certainly have been a lot of people who have left far too soon for a variety of reasons throughout the course of 2020, COVID among others. And I think for many people that immediate fear, sort of in the gut fear, because of the amount of interest and connection that many people feel to Tiger Woods, was sort of a gut punch. And it's a relief that he appears that he's going to be okay. But it's yet another sign, as if we needed any at all, to make sure that we don't waste the moments that we do have. Especially when there are so many people that could probably hear that you love them. And you may say this is a little bit of a cliche, and I know that I do it, and I would feel bad if I didn't do it. When you're on the phone with people that you love, that are important to you, tell them that you love them as you hang up. It's a small thing. But the truth of the matter is this, and if 2020 didn't bring this home, I don't know what could. None of us know, by and large, the last time we're ever going to speak to the people that we love the most. Why would you not control, as best you can, the final thing that a person you love hears from your voice when you do something as simple as call them on the phone? And let me just say this. If there's someone that you love that you haven't talked to in a while, how about you go ahead and pick up the phone and give them a call today? And you can say, Clay Travis, the guy that you start your morning with, was the one who encouraged you to do it. And who knows, maybe your day and your year will get remarkably better because you made the decision to do that. Maybe it won't change at all, but you'll just feel a little bit better. But I think for so many people, Dub, you talked about it earlier in the show, when an athlete who at many times seems indestructible like Kobe, and then you have this incident with Tiger Woods where he flips his car, and for many people out there, those are the two athletes that they think of most as defining their generation. And I'm glad that Tiger is going to be okay, but it just goes to show how quick that flip from guy who's getting in his car and headed out to be able to film a television show at his golf course alongside of Drew Brees and Justin Herbert. That, by the way, is where Tiger Woods was headed early in the morning on Tuesday when he flipped his car and had the incident. That could be anybody. It was Tiger Woods, but it could have happened to anyone out there. And why not take the opportunity this morning, finish off the show, finish off the podcast, reach out to somebody that you care about, and finish a phone call with "love you." It's a small thing. Something I try to do every time I talk to my kids, every time I talk to my wife, every time I talk to my parents, people that I talk to the most, that I'm closest to. I don't know when the last time I'm going to be able to talk with them is. I hope it's a long, long time into the future that I'll be able to continue to interact with the people that I love the most, but I'm not sure about that. And I think for many of us, that gut punch realization is a sign that we take a lot of moments for granted, and maybe we shouldn't be doing that as often. Not trying to blow your mind this morning as we finish the Wednesday edition of the program, but I do think it's emblematic of many of the thoughts that you out there in my audience might have had as you saw that news about Tiger Woods. I appreciate all of you hanging out with me. I am headed out Thursday and Friday. Jonas Knox is going to be in, guest hosting the show. Looks like I'm going to be able to get out and get down to Mexico. And so I can't wait to get away for a couple of days. First time in a while. And I'll be back same bat time, same bat channel next week. But I appreciate all of you. I thank you for hanging out with us. And I hope you enjoyed the Wednesday edition of the program. This has been Outkick. Go download the podcast. Search out my name, Clay Travis. Search out Outkick. Make sure you don't miss a minute of the show anytime. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.